Christmas at the coming of Christ and the remembrance and celebration of that. The series for Advent I've called Present or Present. And perhaps this is because as an ESL teacher, I realize how tricky English can be. Is this a noun, an adjective, or a verb? Present and present. And what we see here, we see a little boy opening up a gift, right? And sometimes, well, what do we find when we open up gifts? Sometimes there's a surprise. Sometimes you ask for something and you get what you ask for. Sometimes you get something else. Have you thought about this? Like, it's giving, it's getting, but what gift would you want most? If you could get a gift, what would that be? What would you enjoy the most? What would help you the most? And maybe those aren't the same thing, what you would enjoy the most and what would help you the most. Would this gift require assembly? Are there directions or instructions you have to follow? Would this gift fit everyone on your list? What would you give to the one that you love the most? If you got a gift you really loved, would you put that on social media? Would you share that? What if there was a gift that could wipe your past clean? Wouldn't that be a nice gift? When we think of Christmas gifts, there's giving, there's getting, there's joy. Is there stress? Sometimes, especially for the parents. There's love, and there's family, and togetherness. If you want to make a song out of that, go ahead. I'll let you borrow that. So we're going to look at five verses out of Titus chapter 2, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And today we're going to talk about Titus 11. I've called it delivery. Next week we're going to look at verse 12, the assembly instructions, verse 13, anticipation, verse 14, the gift exchange, and then 15, share. So let's read this together. I'll read verse 11, you read 12, and I'll repeat it with you so that it goes into the microphone. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And the last one, verse 15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So in this passage, it tells us that grace brings new life, but it also teaches a new lifestyle. The same grace that brings salvation teaches us how to live as saved people. It teaches us how to live the new way. Now, anybody here ever ordered anything online? Okay. The younger people, yes. Anybody? How about some of the older people? You've ordered online. Okay. And did it tell you when to expect your package? Did you even get something that says tracking order? If you want to follow it, you can get it tracked. Now, that's important now because I heard just on the news this week that there's been more theft where people are stealing packages off people's porches. And so you might get a call from someone in your family or your neighbor that says, I'm expecting a package today, but I can't make it home today. Can you pick it up for me and hold it for me? So there's a expectancy. You can track your order. Jesus said about himself, he said after his resurrection, why are you so slow of heart to believe all that was written? He said, these things had to happen. They were written in advance. He said, everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. God had laid out what it would take for Christ to come and accomplish his salvation. So there were certain things that had to be fulfilled. In the reading today, Sarah read about Simeon. And look what it says. Simeon, who was righteous and devout, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is the promise. He was waiting for God to bring about his promise and redeem Israel. And the Holy Spirit is upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord answer that prayer, answer that promise. The Lord's Christ. That's the answer to the promise. And so in this passage, we're told that the delivery has already happened. The delivery has come. It's present. What God's people have been waiting for is here. It's present right now. He says, the grace of God has appeared. It has been delivered. It has arrived. You don't have to wait anymore. One of the things I like to tell people is this is God's book and it's a big book. And he revealed himself little by little through the ages and through the different prophets. And he would give promises and he built upon those promises. And so the book gets bigger, the promises get more, the prophecies of what God would do increase. And through many years, the first writing we have is from Moses. He reflects on promises even before his time. And then the last one before Christ is Malachi. And of all the prophets saying, wait for God's promise. Wait for his salvation. It's coming. It's coming. Wait for it. Wait for it. And then one man, one prophet said, stop waiting. It's here. The promise has come. God's salvation has come. Who was that prophet? John the Baptist, the end of the Old Covenant prophets. Even though his story is written about in the New Testament, he's the last of the Old Covenant prophets. And now we have the New Covenant. We're going to celebrate communion later, the New Covenant, which Christ has fulfilled, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so, it's come. Now, Paul uses a very interesting word in his phrase, the grace of God has appeared. This word is a Greek word. He uses both the noun and the verb in this passage. And in verse 11, he uses the verb. And it's the word where we get epiphany from. And it means, well, at least the Greeks had this sense of a God showing up. A God would come to earth in one form or another, sometimes as a human, sometimes as another form. And they call that an epiphany. And look what we have here recorded in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas went to Lystra. There was a man there, and this man was lame since he was born. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed since he was born. And Paul said to that man, stand up. And he stood up and started jumping around. And people saw this miracle, and they said, oh, the gods have come down to us in human form. Why did they say that? 50 years before this event, Ovid, a writer, related a story. He said, Zeus and Hermes came down in human form and went around and knocked on a house and said, could you feed us let us stay here? No. Another house. Could you feed us and let us stay here? No. And went to another house. They went to 1,000 houses. And finally, at this poor cottage, this couple said, come in. Yes. And they were very poor, but they gave them all the food they have, and they let them stay there. And then the gods showed themselves, and they turned their little poor little cottage into a temple with a golden roof. And they made this man and woman a priest and priestess. And what did they do to the other 1,000 houses? They destroyed them. So they had this story. And so they said, we're not going to miss it this time. Here they are. We've just seen a miracle. Only the gods can do this. And they said, this is the gods, this is Zeus. And they called Barnabas Zeus because he's bigger, and he didn't say anything. And Hermes, they called Hermes because he did all the talking. And Hermes is also known as Mercury among the Romans. But he's Apollos. He's the messenger. No, I got that wrong. That would be Mercury. Yeah, Mercury. Apollos is the sun, and his messenger is Mercury. Okay, well, anyways, that's their story. And Paul says, don't do that, don't do that. We're not gods. We're just men like you. God has sent us. And they told them the gospel. He said they could barely keep them from sacrificing. But then some Jews came who had followed them from Antioch, and they stirred up the crowd. And so instead of worshiping them and sacrificing animals to them, they ended up stoning Paul. Isn't that interesting? Some people were more ready to believe a myth than they were the gospel, even though they saw the power of God. So miracles don't always convince people. But that's what they said. And this is the word that Paul uses, epiphany. The grace of God has appeared. It's come down to us in human form, too. In human form. We sang this song, or it was part of the song. This is out of Matthew. Let's read this together. Matthew 1, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Has God come down in human form? Yes. God is with us. God is present. And so the greatest gift that God gives us is his own presence. God is with us. Remember when Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, what will make us different from all the other people on the earth? It's your presence that makes us a special people. It's what we need. And God said, okay, I will go with you. Notice that it says in verse 13, we read already, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing. This is the word epiphania as a noun. This is the word as a noun. Of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is our God and Savior, according to this verse? Jesus Christ. And so, yes, God, we know God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus Christ is God on earth. He is God with us. And then what did Jesus say? He said, you're sad because I'm going away, but it's actually better for you that I go away. Because if I go away, what? The Spirit will come and be with us. And so now we have Christ with us in the sense of the Spirit. We have the Father and the Son with us in the Spirit. Now, continuing in the same passage, this is what the angel told Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season, but what's the reason for the name Jesus? You are to give him the name Jesus because what? He will save his people from their sins. What does the word Jesus have to do with that? Why is that the reason for the name Jesus? Some of you know. Jesus is the same as Joshua. And if you look in the old King James Bible, you'll see there's a mistake in the translation in Hebrews verse 4:8. And it said, if Jesus could give them rest. And it meant to be, if Joshua could give them rest. Because it's the same word in the Greek. But so we get our English Jesus from the Greek, and we get our word Joshua from the Hebrew. The Greek is actually Jesus, and the Hebrew is Yehoshua, but that's what it gets. And it comes from two words, and it means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves, because we translate Yahweh as the Lord. So Jesus means the Lord saves. That's what his name means. Some of us remember this verse. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to everyone who did receive him, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, they received Jesus, they believed in his name. What did he give to those people? The right to become children of God. So what's his name? Jesus Christ. What's that mean? His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus, we just learned, is the Lord saves, or Yahweh saves. And Christ, that's a Greek word, Christos. We didn't actually translate it in English. We just took it and transliterated it. And that's from the Hebrew Mashiach, which we translated into Messiah. It means anointed one. It means someone poured oil on them, or ointment. They anointed him. And this was a process. When a new king was selected, he would be anointed with special oil, showing that he's been chosen by God and he's been empowered by God. He's been authorized by God to be the king or to be the priest. Aaron was anointed as the high priest, and they poured oil, and it said it went down his beard and down onto his clothing, the anointing oil. So he's the priest, he's the prophet, he's the king. And the one who is the Christ is all of those together. He's prophet, priest, and king. He's and what David was imperfectly, what Moses was imperfectly, what Aaron was imperfectly, Christ is perfect in all of those things, prophet, priest, and king. So Jesus Christ, and of course, Christ isn't really a name. It's a title or a position. It's like saying King James, President Trump, Dr. Jones. This is his title, his position. So Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, that's his name. Those who believed in this, that he is the one that God has sent to fulfill all the promises, they are given the right to become children of God. So he tells us, again, the grace of God has appeared. It's the grace of God that's appeared. And only grace of God can bring salvation. Only the grace of God can bring salvation. Why is that? Can our works earn salvation for us? What do our works earn? The wages of sin is death. So if we get what we deserve, we get death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And some of you have learned this acrostic, G-R-A-C-E. What is it? God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay? So, if you want to give someone a gift, you look on Amazon or you go to a shop, you go to a mall, and you pick out a gift and you say, this would be a great gift for my dad. Okay. Telling my sons. Or your mother, or your wife, or your husband, or your children, or your friend. You pick out a gift, and you just take that gift home, right? Or do you have to do something first? You have to pay for it, right? You pay for the gift. And so the gift is expensive for the one giving it. But what about the one receiving it? If it's not free, it's not a gift. It's a timeshare or something. I don't know. It's not a gift. And so we're given a gift, but who paid the price? It's at Christ's expense. And so the grace of God has appeared in bringing salvation to how many? All people. That doesn't mean everyone's saved. It means everyone that is saved this way. Is there anyone saved another way? Is there anyone saved by their own works? No. They're all saved. Anyone who is saved, and all people can be saved, and all that are saved are only saved this way. In chapter 3, he uses, it sounds almost exactly the same. But when the kindness appeared, here in chapter 2, he says, when the grace of God appeared. But now he says, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. It's the very same word. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And so, this is God's gift to all people. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is the true light that gives light to every man. He came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. We need that. How many people? In Revelation, we'll get to sing this song. They sang a new song. Everyone in heaven sang this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. To the Lamb of God, we sing this song. You purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Again, looking at what Simeon said, he said, it's appeared. I can see it now. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel. Everyone who's saved is saved this way. It's the salvation promised in the Bible. And even people from afar came. People who were looking at the stars, but they also had heard from Daniel and his friends many years before. Magi came from the east to Jerusalem, and they said, where is the one who's born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. We have come to worship him. God is present. Jesus came. He left. He's coming again. That's in verse 14. But he is still present right now by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said just before he left and right after he had the Last Supper in John 17, he prayed to the Father and he said, I want them to be one with us, one with one another and one with us, because I'm in them and you are in me. We are united with God. And communion shows that. Communion shows that we are connected to God, that Christ is in us. He said, I'm the bread of life. You have to eat me. And if you eat Christ, he's inside of you. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to symbolize that now. So if we could have the officers come. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I received from the Lord, for what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, if you don't have to belong to this church, but if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and the promises that he fulfilled, you are allowed to take this. And so please take it and hold it, and we'll wait till everyone has a piece, and then we'll eat it together.